To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Jay here, PositiveSarcasm.com. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. The affiliate links are in the description down below. Recorded here by New Hampshire's beautiful seacoast at the Spare Parts Studio, which is assembling more spare parts apparently day in and day out, it seems. Oh, what a relief. Welcome to May. Like, subscribe, share, donate. PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amounts appreciated. Repping my hairstylist over in Hampton, Gents Barbershop. Shout out to, the hell was her name again? Audrey. Been with her since 2021. What up, son? If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, hit me up through my website, PositiveSarcasm.com, the contact section. Or you can email me directly, PositiveSarcasm@Outlook.com. Or you can DM me through Instagram at @Positive_Sarcasm, where I post my morning photos of my dog, my workout caloric intake count to let you guys know that I am a man of my word. When I say I am going to better myself, I actually go and do it. But you can go ahead and check out all the links in the affiliate description down below. Mel Robbins, Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, BetterHelp, all the financial wellness stuff, you know, Weeble. The Weeble app, the eToro app, the Moomoo app. Moomoo app is actually a pretty damn good app. I actually do like that. That is my secondary brokerage account. Secondary through the other ones, just whole crypto, and then I'm planning on opening a third. We've already talked about financial wellness. Before we get to this week's Q&A, so we've talked about financial wellness. We talked about physical wellness, mental wellness. Now we're going to go ahead and dive into we're going to talk, you know, aesthetic wellness, something that I'm very much into, even though I'm rocking crew neck t-shirt, but it's a clean t-shirt. And quite frankly, I'm not wearing any underwear. But other than that, I am rocking, you know, I'm rocking my father's soul ring. I am rocking my, Nixon Swiss Red October. And that's it. But we're very casual for this episode of the podcast. But when it comes to aesthetic wellness, I want to introduce you to this fine gentleman right here.
It's Thursday, so let's get dressed.
Thursday.
Trousers. Shirt. Cufflinks. For a scent, we go with Acqua di Parma Osmitios. For our shoes, we got an oxblood tassel loafer.
Ooh, I love that when the wood pops.
Black tie.
Pop.
For a timepiece, we go with the Raymond Weil.
Raymond Weil.
Millisime.
That's a sick watch.
Leather jacket. Last but not least, a leather pocket square.
Savagery.
And that's Thursday.
Meet Damian Broderick, apparently a clothing stylist, and he says he's not an influencer, but he's definitely influenced me. I pay attention to this guy. He's got 1.5 million followers. Designs. He has a clothing brand or a couple clothing brands, apparently out of Great Britain, I believe, according to that accent. But the guy just he posts obviously photos of something. He was at the Kentucky Derby. Has a very different look. Obviously, it's not some of this, but some of the stuff I can kind of jive with. I get where he's experimental with some of his clothing. But he's also classic with some of his styling, especially when he did his Tweed Run collection, which was a little bit baggy, but I kind of get it. It's kind of his thing. He's very tatted up, which is very much his style. He's very into taking, and obviously he has the classic route. He has the casual route, and he doesn't just do, like, you know, loafers and stuff like that. He'll do like Nikes. He'll go with like a basic corduroy setup. He'll go with a t-shirt. If he's going to see the sights in Lisbon, he'll show you how he rocks it out throughout the day. But it's cool because you're looking, you're like, this guy, it's not just what he wears, but it's how he wears it and what he says about it. And his watch collection, you know, He hasn't shown a lot of them, but to me, he's shown enough. So for a perfect example, he showed a Ray Weil, which I haven't seen pop up in a while. Now, a Ray Weil can cost you anywhere from like I'd say about 500 to 2 grand. But you can get a decent one for maybe about $300-$400. Raymond Weil is a strictly Swiss brand watch. They do a lot of thin. Their watches are very, very thin. They're just standard timepieces. They're absolutely gorgeous. Perfect for dressing up, perfect for casual, perfect for business, perfect for just getting on a plane, perfect for just sitting around not wearing any pants. It's an amazing looking watch. He doesn't showcase that one very often. He does have a beautiful custom-made Seiko. Seiko is a Japanese brand. They're pretty casual, but they have the Grand. They have the Seiko. I think it's called the Grand National, and it's a very expensive watch. It's no joke. Seiko is a very well-respected brand, and you can wear it very casual, going for a hike, or you can rock it with a suit. But normally, he rocks a Cartier Tank and a Patek Philippe. Now he put. You see those? You see those on and on again and a lot of them. And you would think it's like, oh, he's just using these. No, those are his watches. And first of all, just between the two, the Cartier Tank and the Patek Philippe. First of all, a Cartier Tank's got to be, well, I'm just throwing a number out, between 5 and 10 grand. And then a Patek Philippe. A Patek Philippe is, they could go anywhere from like $100,000. But let's see here. So a Cartier Tank. Let me just look up really quick. A Cartier Tank watch. I could go to Ashford.com and see if they have one. Let me go to Ashford and see if. So there's two places you can buy watches at. There's Ashford.com and there's Jama Shop. J-O-M, S-H-O-P. There's also the Watchery as well. Let's just see if Cartier Tank. So let's go Cartier Tank and see what pops up. Nothing. Oh, wait. Trending now. Cartier. Let's see if I can find you just... Maybe just see if I can find you a standard Cartier. Just a standard Cartier watch. See. Brands. Cartier. Nothing? Nothing at all? Well, that sucks. All right. Let's go to the Jama Shop. Jama. A-S-O-H-P. .com. I'm determined. I'm getting answers. I'm getting some goddamn answers. Cartier. And let's see if we can find a tank. Okay, these are Cartier Tanks. These are pre-owned. $5,000, $3,900, $2,700. That's pretty. See, these are all pre-owned. We're talking multiple thousands of dollars. These are all Tank, okay? And it's not going to show. I'm not going to go ahead and look for the one that he specifically has, but look at the prices here. Exactly what I said. Between, there's another one right there with diamonds on it, $15,000. All right, here's a Cartier Tank automatic. That's what an automatic. $15,000, $3,000, $17,000, $11,000. These are all pre-owned. These things are amazing. So that's a Cartier Tank. Now the other watch he rocks is a Patek Philippe, and I'll just get a Patek, and we'll just go Philippe, and we'll just check out these things. Look out! Get ready for some ridiculousness. $58,000, $27,000 after coupon. But he is like a standard Cartier Tank. Patek Philippe, 79 grand. Here's a pretty run-of-the-mill Patek Philippe, $15,000. Hand-wound. And then they got some sporty ones for $34,000, if you want to sport $34,000. And then, of course, an Aquanaut Chronograph Automatic Diamond White Mother of Pearls, $463,500. All right, so he's basically got, just from two watches alone, $20,000 on his wrist, just from two watches alone. And then his Raymond Weil, you attack on another $500. He's got one or two Earnshaws, which will run you about $70-$80 a pop. He's got two Seikos, I believe. One will cost you probably about $150. The other one, the Grand National, will, oh god, that could run you, fuck, I don't even know. But nice little collection, his own styling, his own respectable styling, and he does a very, very good job of sometimes adding a very stylish Kentucky Derby type thing and then just throwing in a tank top, because this is just what he does. And he gets brand advertisement, he gets to show off his own brand, and just a damn good bloke who doesn't give a shit. And this guy looks like he's building his own brand. He obviously to go to the Kentucky Derby, you got to have some money, or you got to get a serious invite. But the guy's legit, and this is a perfect example of like, you don't have to. So yeah, he does have the Patek Philippe, which is 15 grand. Yes, he does have you know, the Cartier tank, which is about $5,000. But then he's got some pretty inexpensive stuff. He's got the dunks from Nike. He's got some classic sweaters. He's got some stuff that he found, you know, for pretty cheap. And quite frankly, if you wanted to go get a stylish collection of clothes, you can start no simpler than just going to the Salvation Army or going to Goodwill or whatever, or going to TJ Maxx or Marshalls. But you can start, because a lot of people just throw away their clothes because they can't fit in them anymore because they're too fucking fat. So you can start with just going and getting like a half a dozen chinos. Chinos is like a casual dress pant. That you can kind of run around, or it's a perfect pant for the airport. Or you can really, you can wear it with sneakers, you can wear it with sandals, or you can really style it up and put like a really beautiful monk strap loafer. You can even find beautiful shoes. I bought a pair of shoes, a beautiful pair of Magnani Spanish Oxfords. I swear the guy wore them the day of his wedding and died on the same day. These things are immaculate. They don't even have a crease in them. They are that gorgeous. And I paid a grand total of $6 for them. So I now have four pairs of Spanish loafers, a pair of two pairs of monk straps. I got a bunch of other ones from brands like Clarks and Dockers that I wear from on and off again. And now I have this nice variety for very, very little money. And I've got pairs of chinos in multiple different colors, two in blue, one in cranberry, another one in beige, or caramel, or whatever you want to call it. I have all those, and then I have my dress pants on top of them, and a lot of them don't cost that much money. And it really, that stretching of your color range, just having different options every day, will keep your inexpensive wardrobe lasting longer. And you can just look at a guy like this, and there's a lot of guys like this on the internet or on Instagram, but at the end of the day, this is the one I was drawn to, mostly his demeanor, his attitude, his and obviously some of his styling overall, where he is an individual with his own individualistic choices about how he wants to look, what he wants to portray, and how much tattoo he wants to show. Totally up to him, and I really do appreciate his viewpoint, his own independent viewpoint about how he wants to dress. But at the end of the day, he looks damn good, and he wants you to look damn good too. So I strongly recommend, if you want to follow Damian Broderick from London, England, go ahead and look him up on the Instagrams. And I believe he's got a YouTube channel. He's probably got a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know what else does he have here, just so I can get a proper, give him the proper respect. He's got a link tree. So let me just see what else goes on. He's on YouTube, he's on TikTok, he's on Instagram. Apparently he's got psoriasis. But his YouTube channel, let's go ahead and take a look here. Just see how much silliness we got going on here. 25,000 subscribers, 165 videos. He was at the Kentucky Derby. His tattoo collection, I'll call it that. Apparently he had a hair transplant, and he's been working on that. His hair looks freaking phenomenal, by the way. So he showcased that story. He's got his shorts of everything that he does on Instagram. He's got his playlist. So go ahead and get a sense of how he really embraces his wardrobe. But he's all over the internet, and he's got, you know, his styling's great. His styling's great, and I do respect his viewpoint on this stuff. So I look forward to keeping up with him as far as looks. And I mean, I got my own watch collection. Some of them they're not that expensive. I mean, this Nixon, the only reason I bought this Nixon is because it's the only one in the Nixon collection that actually has the Swiss movement on it. So I was like, cool, give me a submarine watch. Because back in the day, I could not afford a U-boat watch. U-boat watches are huge, but they're also expensive. They're like $1,000. Whereas this one, I was able to pick this thing up for $30. They're now worth close to $100. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So, and then I have Tissot, and then I have Christopher Ward. I have Hamilton, and I got a few others. And I also have a Tegroff, which is an old Swiss watch from the 1970s that I need to be restored. So I have about six watches, and that's a perfect little amount. A half a dozen watches is perfect for me to kind of go from day to day to day. And I will definitely add another one in the future. But you have your set of how you can easily style yourself up in a matter of 5 minutes and walk out that door feeling 100% confident that you look damn good. And Damian Broderick is, you know, a perfect example of somebody I look up to, or I look after, or I look to be like, all right, what's he thinking about today? What's on his mind when he throws his clothes on? And it's an interesting way of how he sets it up in his own little British style. It's Thursday, so let's get dressed. You know, and I think it's pretty cool. And I like the idea of having the straps on the sides of the pants. So all you got to do is, you don't even have to use the belt, but the belt's cool. But you just kind of tighten it up on the sides. I like that. There's a lot of ways to look good for not a lot of money, but there is also ways to look amazing for a shit ton of cash. So, and he pulls it off very, very well, whether it be with a $70 watch or a $70,000 watch. So Damian Broderick, he's on YouTube, he's on Instagram. Go ahead, check him out. That being said, what time are we at? We are cruising at 15 minutes. I want to get another 10 minutes with some dig.com Q&A. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments of your own, go ahead and hit me up on my website, positivesarcasm.com, or email me, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. Check out those affiliate links for like the Weeble app, the Moomoo app. Go ahead and get yourself, you know, 5% interest rates on just loose cash, just hanging out. And go ahead and get yourself, you know, invested in maybe things like on SoFi, you know, yeah, so when interest rates come down, the stock will go up, or you want to get, you know, yourself some monthly dividends and start your own nice little brokerage portfolio of getting some monthly nuggies. Go ahead and invest in things like PSEC, OXLC, HRZN, CRT, not critical race theory, CRT, Crossroad Timbers. So go ahead and check that out. Sign up today. The affiliate link is in the description down below. Anyways, we're going to head close up shop. Let me get some chai tea in my system. Stand by. Extra spicy, by the way. Here we are. Let me go ahead and turn down this music just a little bit for myself. There we go. I hear myself think. I spend some time on an online forum. First of all, how the levels on this? They look pretty damn good. I spend some time on an online forum and come across some interesting folk from time to time. It's almost always just online and just a comment and a response or two, or just some likes and dislikes. Early this year, someone responded and we went back and forth. We exchanged some semi-personal information and she mentioned she was quite close geographically. We switched to a more personal messaging service and I asked for a face pic. She demurred and sent a body shot instead. The picture was hot. I responded with a similar faceless picture of me. We kept exchanging faceless pictures. Things were heating up. And I sent a face picture. She stopped communicating. I waited for a couple days and asked if she was okay and said I was worried. She said she was busy and needed time to think. We soon stopped messaging. I was wondering about her and a few days later looked at all her pictures. A small tattoo in one picture of the back of her neck looked very familiar. Looking at her body more closely made me realize who she was, and I knew why she stopped communicating. We have had no family events recently, but my parents and relatives are bound to host events this spring and summer, and I cannot avoid her. And I cannot avoid her forever. The cousins and their wives, oh Jesus, and families are bound to be invited, and it's going to be awkward. Should I reach out to her and talk to her and try to laugh it away, or just pretend I do not know it was her when I meet her? Well, first of all, okay, so it's an extended family member. She knows who you are. All right. First off, you gotta get rid of those photos. Those photos have to go. That's just out of respect for anybody in general, is you gotta delete those photos. And then you gotta take that phone and set it on fire. And then you gotta poke your eyes out. And then you got to jump off a cliff. But if you happen to survive that and you happen to manage to make it to the family reunion, first of all, she is guilty of the same thing that you did, not knowing who it was. Now, you can approach her and be like, hey, just like, hey, how's it going? Can we just, if, you know, no weird feelings, it just, we did the right thing. We stopped communicating when we realized who we were. We cool? Cool. All right. And then just leave it alone. Or just don't. You could just wave and leave it alone. You could, like, just really just do a no contact and just be like, hey, how's it going? I see you. Blah, blah, blah. You know? But either way, it's cool. You guys didn't do anything wrong. You just caught it. You got caught up in a moment, and you're just like, oh, oh. And that happens, and it probably happens more often than you realize. So no harm, no foul, just an honest mistake, and thankfully no fluids were swapped. In which case, you're in a different state, then have at it. Our church started streaming its services online during the pandemic, and this continues today. My in-laws often watch the services together. They live far away, belong to their own church, and attend services there regularly. The problem is they make snarky comments. And if they don't see us on the video, quote, I see somebody slept in today, or, you missed church again. They even set an alarm on their phone to go off when our services start. It's super annoying and downright stalkerish to me. My spouse thinks they are just doing old people's stuff, and it's harmless. But I think they clearly have no boundaries, and if they scold their adult kid for missing services. I haven't said anything to the in-laws yet, but I feel like I will blow up the next time. Well, if you think you've reached a critical mass moment where you're going to get really angry at somebody, then you need to talk to them about that. Because not saying anything or not doing anything is going to make your situation a hell of a lot worse. So why don't you do yourself a favor and bring up the subject matter now before you explode later, which will cause more problems for the family for sure. Or you can just go to church. That's one way to do it. Let's move on to the next one. I started a new part-time job at a restaurant a few months ago. Well, I'm glad you're working. I like it for the most part, and I like the managers, but one of them, Phil, has a rather odd habit. He semi-regularly tugs hard on my ponytail, which I am required to wear by policy and sanitation standards. The context of when he does, it comes up across as playful, friendly, for example, when saying hello upon first seeing me that day, or while laughing after I made a joke. I was extremely shocked the first time it happened, and I thought I'd gotten my hair caught on something before Phil made a comment saying, "Hi, it was nice to see you. Hair tug is a while of passing through the kitchen." This has happened 6 times since I started in March, and now that I write that down, seems extensive for a short tenure and part-time status. Okay, I don't know how to go back and reset this completely bananas boundary, which makes things awkward. I suspect he doesn't realize how hard he's pulling, and would at least be more gentle if I asked him to be. But I also think he'd be offended if I asked him to stop altogether. I definitely heard him complain about other staff members behind their backs, although usually for justifiable work reasons that I've seen firsthand. So maybe he'd take it in stride and I'm just catastrophizing. Okay. The power dynamics and gender roles make it feel so daunting to bring up. Do you have any... Well, look, if you don't want somebody pulling on your ponytail, regardless if you're a dude with a long ponytail or a chick with a long ponytail, if you don't want somebody tugging on your shit, you gotta tell them to knock it off. Because it seems like it's awkward and, in some cases, perverted behavior. Especially in the restaurant industry where there's a weird power dynamic or a weird, just weird, weird... I mean, first of all, working in the restaurant industry can be a whole lot of freaking fun when you're young. Oh, it's perfect for people who are young. But if you don't want people tugging on your hair, just tell them to knock it off. Just tell them, nah, you know. And if they decide and they take you off the schedule, then great, stop working there. Go work for another restaurant. You know, maybe it wasn't meant to be. Which I hate that phrase, kind of, but, you know, the person's making it weird for you, making it difficult for you, and quite frankly, it needs to stop. So, think about how you're going to say it, and then just say it. You've documented the amount of times it happened, and if you find that it's hindered, after you tell them to stop, that it hinders your work starts to suffer, or you get, you know, talked to more, then complain to HR that saying... Basically, ever since I asked them to stop pulling my hair, this, and this has happened. And I don't know if it's due to my work performance or the fact that he just doesn't want to treat me a certain way anymore ever since I told him to stop touching me. Basically, because what he's doing is touching you, and it's unrequested. So, it's got to stop. And I strongly suggest you figure out why, because if anything bad happens to you employment-wise, shortly after you tell him to stop, you have legal recourse. Let's do one more, and then we'll close up shop for this week. I had to have a hysterectomy at 31 due to severe medical complications after a car accident. I'm very lucky to be alive. Rather than being happy for me, too much of my extended family are in mourning for my fertility. I was never big on marriage and kids, and my brush with death just solidified my stance. Okay, my brothers both have kids, so it isn't like family line isn't in any danger. Okay, but my family acts more like me never becoming a mom is somewhat worse than me dying completely. My grandmother has burst into tears on more than one occasion over the subject, while my disabled aunt will not shut up about surrogacy. I have stated my feelings and asked them to drop it, but they still persist. The last time I got up and left in the middle of lunch because my grandmother started on the waterworks again. My parents are extremely angry with me over this rudeness and blame the fact that it's just a matter of old age. I am their primary respite caregiver since my grandmother is in her 90s and my aunt can't live alone. It is taxing enough to take care of them without hearing about a waste of space in my life without children. Okay. Well, since you are the primary caretaker, you can offer them the solution of, hey, if you want me to show up and take care of you, and take care of aunt, and do anything on behalf of the family, shut the fuck up about my medical condition, or my medical choice here that, because of what, you had a hysterectomy at 31 due to severe medical complications after a car accident. You did it in the best interest of your health, and unfortunately, kids are not going to be in your future in that path. They could be. You could be a surrogate down the road. Maybe it's something worth thinking about, but you don't want it, and that's understandable. That's perfectly fine. They need to knock it off if they request to be taken care of by you. Otherwise, I'd just be like, you know what? You guys offer me nothing but trouble every time I come here, and it's really starting to stress me out. Why don't you go ahead and find a professional caretaker? Because I'm all set. And quite frankly, I wouldn't blame you. You know, detaching from family, who gives you nothing but guilt trips, and treats you poorly, is an all too common theme, especially for people I know in my own personal life. But you don't deserve to be treated like that. You don't deserve to be talk down to if you are just doing your best, but you made some choices that maybe they don't agree with. But if you're truly trying your best to be the best person you are, why is family giving you all kinds of bullshit? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's counterproductive. It's extremely, extremely stressful, and it definitely weighs on a person for sure. It changes the way they see things and stuff. And it's just like, I get it. You had health complications, so you did the best thing that you knew how to do, and that was recommended to you. You decided that it's best just get rid of it so that you're healthy moving forward. You're healthy moving forward, and you can live life on a path of your choosing. And if you decide to adopt, get a surrogate or whatever, great. Great. Perfect. Anyways, we're at 28 minutes. Let's go ahead and close up shop for this week. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, hit me up on my website, positivesarcasm@outlook.com, or you can just contact me through my website, positivesarcasm.com. Go to the contact page, and you're all set there. This episode will be available on YouTube and Rumble for the video version. And the audio version, anywhere podcasts are available, including Substack, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So hit up the Weeble app, the eToro app, the Moomoo app. Go ahead and check out all the affiliate links in the description down below. And if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, email me, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. Anyways, we're done here. Thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing. And I'll check in on you next week. Recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio for entertainment purposes only. This has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation. Yeah!
something.
Asking for something.
While I'm asking for nothing.
Asking for nothing.
When's it gonna change? Hurts me in a loving kind of way. I'ma celebrate. Yeah. It's time to rock this motherfucker, cause I'm always out of style. Never change my style, cause my style is kinda fresh. You bitches asking for a sound check. Check 1, 2, bitch. You barely touch the ground, yeah. Choked up on your bounce game. Coming down the mountain. Copycat, you lucky that I let you hang around me. Check 3, 4, bitch. Get out there on the bounty. In the war zone, got these campers all around me. We should be on the same team. On the motherfucking same team. If we ain't, then we nothing. For a second, I would say delirious for the record. Looking back as a skeptic, why is there a cross hanging from my necklace? When's it gonna change? Hurts me in a loving kind of way. I'ma celebrate. Yeah! It's time to rock this motherfucker, cause I'm always out of style. Never change my style, cause my style is kinda fresh. You bitches asking for a sound check. Check 1, 2, bitch. You barely touch the ground, yeah. Choked up on your bounce game. Coming down the mountain. Copycat, you lucky that I let you hang around me. Check 3, 4, bitch. Get out there on the bounty. In the war zone, got these campers all around me. We should be on the same team. On the motherfucking same team. If we ain't, then we nothing. We nothing. It's time to rock this motherfucker, cause I'm always out of style. Never change my style, cause my style is kinda fresh. You bitches asking for a sound check. Check 1, 2, bitch. You barely touch the ground, yeah. Choked up on your bounce game. Coming down the mountain. Copycat, you lucky.